Good morning. Welcome to our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week about praying and taking a look each weekday morning at a different aspect of how God desires that we communicate with Him. What our prayer life ought to involve, who we ought to be praying for, how, with what attitude we ought to be praying for with. And today we're going to focus in on praying with joy. And sometimes we're not all that joyful, and it shows up in our prayers. But Paul writes to the Philippians, Philippians 1, verse 4, he says, "In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." If you've read very much of Paul's letters to the various churches, you'll, I think, quickly discover that he's not always happy with the way that they're living. There's a lot of correction that needs done. A lot of challenging their behaviors, their attitudes, even some rebuke. But with all of that said, you always find Paul's appreciation for those that he's writing to. He doesn't let their actions or their attitudes or their need for change disrupt his attitude. And so many times, because we're not happy with someone, we find it difficult to pray with joy. We tend to equate happiness and joy. We like the good feeling that happiness brings. We don't like the not so good feeling that unhappiness brings. And so it's important to recognize, as we pray for one another, as we pray for our church family, for believers all over the world, and I think for people in general, although Paul is definitely sending this letter to the church, to believers, addressing them, that he's praying with joy for them at all times. And so when we begin there, I think it helps us to pray with joy when we pray for the lost, the missing, the prodigal. Even if that lost and missing and prodigal happens to be us, we pray with joy, not because of our goodness or the goodness of someone else, but because of the goodness of God. And so even though there was sometimes a long ways to go to get to where they ought to be, Paul was always joyful that people had responded to the message of the gospel. And sometimes we see in our own life, we see in the lives of others, what still needs to be done, and it keeps us from noticing what has already been done. And when our focus is always on what needs to be done, exclusive rather than including what has already been done, it's easy for many to get discouraged. It's not that we ignore what still needs to be done. Again, that was a big part of Paul's writing various letters to the churches that we have collected as part of the New Testament. There was a lot that needed done. But woven throughout all of the correction, woven throughout all of the instruction, woven throughout all of the rebuke, was gratitude for what had already been accomplished. For God's work in the lives of believers that Paul had encountered. For God's work in the lives of believers that Paul had simply heard about. And when we live life choosing joy, you see, that's the difference. Happiness has so much to do with our feelings, with happenings. If the happenings that are around us that we're involved with are good, then our attitude is good. If they're bad, then our attitude is bad. But joy is a decision, but it's more than a decision. In fact, God says it's part of the fruit of His Spirit. His Spirit who convicts us, who helps us, who comforts us, who guides us, who intercedes when our words to God make no sense to us. It's choosing to let God's Spirit shine in us and through us that helps us to choose joy. And not just a personal joy that fills us, but an expressive joy that notices others. And the knowledge that people have come to Christ, that people are coming to Christ, ought to fill us with great joy. And I think sometimes there are individuals that, for whatever reason, we conclude in our mind they don't deserve it. And we're not so happy when they come to Christ. In fact, there are those who will claim, well, it's not real. Give it time, it won't last. It's a fake, it's a front, it's a show. Maybe, maybe not. But what would change if we would pray with joy that they've reached out to God? Because the only change that they can accomplish that's lasting is if God changes them. And if they allow His Spirit to be in charge. Just as the only change that will last in your life and in my life is if God changes us, if we allow His Spirit to be in charge. And when we understand how much we need God working in our life, it ought to fill us with great joy, not only that He's working in our life, but that others are seeing the work of God in their life. And we pray with joy, because we understand the kingdom of God is expanding. Lives are being transformed. The lost and missing are finding Jesus. And as we pray with joy, our attitude towards people changes. And when our attitude towards people changes for the positive, for the good, it changes them. Just as when the attitudes of others change positively towards us, it changes us. And so today, we consider the people around us, the people in our family, the people in our church, the people in our workplace, the people in our community, the people who belong to the kingdom of God, the people who are not yet in the kingdom of God. And we pray with joy that God is still alive, that God is still working, that nothing will defeat Him. And we pray with joy that His word is true, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in us through Christ Jesus. And not just us, but we pray with joy for others as they come into knowledge, a saving knowledge, in obedience to Christ. And they are family. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love gives us the joy that we can't ever accomplish on our own. A joy that so far exceeds happiness that it's hard to even consider them related. A joy that comes from your Spirit within us, from having our sins cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And Father, as we pray for one another, may we acknowledge and recognize that element of your Spirit in their life. Whether they're any more perfect than we're not, whether we think they're better or worse than we are, whether we think they have further to go or we have further to go. Father, give us a joy in our prayers and in our attitudes towards them because of what you're doing, because of what you've done, and because of what you will do. And so, God, today I pray with great joy for my dear Run family, for the people that you've surrounded me with in the work of the kingdom here at the Dear Run Church of Christ. I pray with great joy for those that I've been involved with in other ministries who are continuing to be faithful in serving and helping and loving people. I pray with great joy for the family that you've given me, that you've set me within. I pray with great joy for those that I'll encounter this week. In whatever setting that I encounter them in, whether it's a setting that I like or a setting that I don't like, I pray with great joy that you have counted me worthy, not because I am, but because you've redeemed me to be yours. And that's your desire, not just for me, but for all people. So God, today, as we pray with great joy, may we lift up Jesus and the power of your Spirit to give us that joy that surpasses all understanding, similar to the peace that you give us. And may we proclaim and lift up Jesus as the source of all the joy within us. Father, so that as we lift him up, that many would be drawn to you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.